If you have your Bible, please turn with me over to Ephesians 6, just the first four verses this morning. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Ephesians 6 and 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here, and then to see how you would have it apply it to our hearts and to our lives. Our needs are as unique as we are. As we were just reminded, we have not all come together with the same experiences this last week, but we've all come to hear from you. So please, open up our hearts. May we listen and learn what you have to say, and then determine that we're going to make the appropriate application. And as a result, may we be better equipped to serve you this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do not exasperate your children. Now, my Bible says down here in verse 4, do not provoke your children to anger. But your Bible maybe uses the word exasperate. And I like that. That's why I plugged it into the title this morning. Do not exasperate your children. Provoke is a good word. That too. I also like the idea of confuse or discourage. Parenting isn't easy. Let me say that again. Parenting isn't easy.
Amen.
All right. Now that we're all awake and on the same page, parenting isn't easy. But let me assure you today, it is not easy being a kid either. That's what it means. I know you meant to say amen. And that's why it's important for us to take all that we've learned so far in this book of Ephesians, this letter to the church at Ephesus, and apply it now to this area of our lives. And we are all involved in one way or another. Parents, grandparents, maybe, aunts, uncles, maybe, just people involved in the lives of younger people. Wanting to invest time and effort into younger people. Whether you have an immediate responsibility for them or not, you just want to help. What we want to do is make sure that our example before them is consistent enough that we don't confuse them and don't discourage them. Ever tried playing a game with a group of people and nobody knows what the rules are? Or playing a game with someone who likes to make the rules up as you go along? Or maybe playing a game where you're not really sure where the boundaries are? Now that's fine unless you have any kind of competitive nature at all. We like to know what the rules are. We want to know where the boundary lines are. We want to know what is expected of us. That's what our job is. as parents. Now remember, this section started all the way back in chapter 5 of verse 21, where Paul said, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. That's the overall principle that we've been working from. Look at others and ask yourself, what do they need that I can provide? Not what do I need that they can provide for me? That's what that idea is all about. And so when he talked about wives in verses 22, 23, and 24, and said, submit to them, okay, take the relationship that you have now as a wife to your husband and apply that idea. Then he follows up, verses 25 through 33, husbands, this is how it applies to you. Now, as parents, and hopefully I can assure you that all four of these verses apply to our responsibilities as parents and as children. How do we, within the family, or within that core group, whatever it is, maybe it's this family here, as we want to invest in the lives of others, particularly younger ones, how can we look at them and ask, what do they need and how can I meet that need? As opposed to simply thinking of them as the future and those who will take care of us eventually. Now just stop and think about that. We've had this discussion around our dining room table more than once. You do know that those children will someday make decisions about you and your care. You might want to take care in how you direct them. Again, asking that question. What do you need and how can I help meet that need? And that's exactly where these first three verses fit. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Children, obey your parents. Now, we're going to have a series here of keys that we're going to look at. Keys that will help us avoid exasperating, provoking, confusing, discouraging. Some of them are going to be elementary and temporary. Others will be lifelong and ongoing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, that's elementary, and it is somewhat temporary. Obeying your parents. Now, notice, first of all, he says, obey your parents, for this is right. Somewhere along the line, we as parents, and you guys need to already be at this, okay? Because it's going to happen quickly. We need to be understanding what is right so that we can teach what is right to our children so that they will know when they are not right. I know, it seems so simple. Why even take the time to say it? But it really is as simple as knowing what the rules are to this game of life, so that we know when we're doing right. I mentioned to Logan, Psalm 119, verses 9 and 10. I have hidden in my heart, your word, I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I know I have learned what the rules are, the psalmist says. I know what you expect of me, so that when life presents its challenges, its questions, I know how to respond rightly. If we're going to children to obey us, we need to know what the rules are. The rules can't be constantly changing. They can't be constantly situational. We need to know what the rules are, and they need to be consistent. Otherwise, they will be confused and discouraged, and it will be hard for us to say, "Son, obey," when we're not even really sure what we expect. So both are involved. Mom and dad knowing what the rules are, mom and dad knowing what God's word says, and presenting it to the children so that they know what God expects, therefore what we expect, and consistently applying it so that they can respond to it. Now, I said that this is elementary, it's temporary, in that we don't want to continually live our lives by rules, but that's where we start. Eventually, we want to move into that relationship that is actually lifelong and ongoing. Honor your father and mother. One has to do simply with consequences. And of course, every family is going to handle this differently, but here are the rules. Violate the rules, here are the consequences. And those rules and consequences vary as the children get older and more mature. Rules don't change, but your reaction to them will, because you want them to understand the significance of what they're doing and the consequences of the choices that they're making. Why do we do that? Well, it's all a part of helping them grow and mature, but we're modeling their Heavenly Father to them. Guys, we can't let you do whatever you want, because here in this house, it doesn't work. And more importantly, your Heavenly Father isn't going to let you do whatever you want without consequences. So learn here and now, with these simple rules that we have, that there are consequences to the choices that you make, both good and bad, so that later on, you understand that there are always consequences to the choices that you make, and that there's always someone watching you as you make those choices. But eventually, they move into this area of honoring father and mother. That's an attitude of reverence and respect, and that's lifelong. That's ongoing. Many of you, some of you even older than I am, many of you maybe have even thought this morning or made a choice this morning. And in that choice, thought in terms of your parents and a choice that would honor them. They're gone. They've been gone. But you continue to honor and respect them because of who they were and in a sense still are for you. Now, notice he says it's the first commandment with a promise. He may be simply referring to the moral code, those 10 commandments. There were 613, but there were 10 moral laws, 10 moral commandments that God gave to Israel through Moses. The first four deal with our relationship with God, who He is and how we're to respond to Him. The fifth one is this one: honor your father and mother. It's the first of six that tell us how to get along with one another. First, how to get along with God, and then how to get along with one another. And of course, that begins at home, which is our first relationship. Children with parents, parents with children, that first intimacy that we have. Learn to honor and reverence your parents, because it's the first one with a, there's a promise that comes attached with this one. And it's simply this, verse 3, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And this has a lot more to say or do with quality as opposed to quantity. This is not an absolute promise that says if you learn to honor and respect your parents, you'll live to be 100 and whatever. No. But it does mean the sooner you learn to honor and respect your parents, the smoother life will go. In terms of how you learn to respond to situations. See, a lot of the important lessons that we learn, we have to learn at home. We have to learn that there are other people in charge, that the world doesn't revolve around me, right? We have to learn that there are rules. We have to learn that there are consequences to the choices that we make. If I don't learn that it's important to get up in the morning and show up on time, whether it's at school or wherever, if I don't learn that until my first job, I can guarantee you I will have at least 2 jobs. Because I won't keep that first one very long. But if I learn early on about going to bed in time so that I can get up in time, so that I can be wherever it is I'm supposed to be, and hopefully I learn that even before I hit kindergarten or first grade, so that when there are responsibilities there and I know that if I don't, there are consequences to that, the sooner I learn that, the better my life is going to go. I don't mean that if I learn that, that life will always be easy. But I'll know how to respond to those sorts of things. If I learn to honor and respect my parents, at some point, probably sooner rather than later, not always, I'll find out that they have been modeling for me God's love. And his direction and his interest in my life. I will have spent time in church, in Sunday school, in children's church. I will have heard that God loves me, that Jesus died for me. I will have heard that it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, the finished work of Christ. I will have heard that. And I will understand it because I've seen it modeled in my home. Not perfectly, but I've seen it modeled. And I will respond. And that which was elementary or temporary, just obeying the rules, get along to get along, to actually understand it, what it's all about and why it's so important. And then in verse 4, the Bible says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now again, your Bible maybe says, do not exasperate your children. And I know I have used this, it's a great Father's Day passage, but here the word fathers is not gender specific. It's sort of like the word forefathers. We see it in scripture regularly, man or mankind. It's not gender specific. Here it could just as easily be understood as parents. Are fathers especially bent toward exasperating their children? I don't think so. With a few exceptions, maybe. I think both parents can struggle. Kids can have difficulty with both mom and dad. So let's not get hung up on this being directed just to dad. Parents, do not provoke your children to anger. Don't exasperate them. But bring them up in the discipline, training, and instruction of the Lord. And here again, we have two words, discipline and instruction. One, elementary and somewhat temporary. The other, lifelong and ongoing. Discipline, that's the rules. Here are the rules. Now, they may begin very simply with the rules of the house. And then as our children get a little older, we incorporate clearly the rules of God's word. This is what we've been doing. Sunday morning, we go to church. Okay? When you get a little bit older, you find out we've been doing that because God's word tells us to. We've been praying before bed, before meals, when something special happens, we've been praying. Get a little older, you find out it's because God's word told you to. So I eventually learned the basis for it. But in those early years, in the very beginning, there's the discipline of doing something whether I know why or not. Doing something because I've been told to do it. Most of us washed our hands long before we ever could really appreciate why we did it. Brushing teeth. All of those sorts of things that parents know are important. They start doing them long before you can appreciate the importance of it, but eventually you'll appreciate it. And it happens over time and routine and discipline. That's what this word is all about. It's just what we do. It reflects the rules of the house. And later we understand it also reflects God's word. So it can be very elementary, very temporary. But eventually, as parents, it's our responsibility to move into the area of instruction, where we introduce to our children the fact that they need to be lifelong learners. Lifelong learners of who God is, what God expects of them, and how they're to relate to one another. And we're only going to get that from God's word. Don't limit yourself to what somebody else says God's word says. Regularly, someone will come to me and say, well, doesn't the Bible say? Well, my response usually is, well, let's see. Let's see what the Bible says. Because it's never really important that you walk away knowing what I think or believe. But it's very important that you walk away knowing what God's word says. Now, maybe I can help you understand it a little bit. Maybe I can help you with a little bit of application. But what's most important is that you walk away knowing what God has said. That's the instruction. That's the lifelong learning, understanding that we need to continually go back to this book, learning what God has said about himself, about who we are, how to be rightly related to him, and how to be rightly related to one another. And that is not temporary. That is not elementary. The deeper you dig, the tougher it gets. So it is lifelong and ongoing. So as parents, we have a role in teaching our children how to obey and honor us. Give them something to obey. God's people should not be in the habit of letting children raise themselves. Y'all do what you want to do. Figure it out on your own. That's not our responsibility. That's not how we're supposed to do this. We can't teach them to obey us, let alone anyone else, if we don't give them something to obey. We give them nothing to honor. If we haven't demonstrated to them everything that we've taught them. We can't teach them discipline. We can't encourage them to be lifelong learners if we're not doing it ourselves and encouraging them to do it. Remember, Verse 1, because it's right. In all of this, verse 4, of the Lord. Obedience and honor, discipline and instruction, lessons that should be learned at home that will impact every future relationship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for its truthfulness. You know, we've handled it quickly. And Father, we all relate in different ways. Some of us are right in the middle of it. Some of us are anticipating the joy of the growing responsibility as parents. Some of us are enjoying the honor and respect and the joy of seeing our children grow and mature as they continue to learn. Some of us have been plugged in from the outside. We're not involved in it right now in terms of our own family, our own children, our own grandchildren, but you've provided others for us to invest in, especially here in the church. And we thank you, Father, for that privilege, for that responsibility. I thank you for the examples that we have here in our church. None of us gets it right all the time. But we know what your word says, we are committed to it, and we're pursuing it. We're committed to your word. We believe that it is the final source for faith and practice. So where your word speaks to an issue, we believe that's the last word. We teach that. May we stay consistent and loving, asking of our children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, young people around us, what can I do for you? What needs do you have that I can meet? How can I show you how much I love you and how much more God loves you? How can I encourage you in your walk, in your growing? May that be a part of who we are and how we respond to everyone around us. And thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.